Let's bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning to talk about my favorite topic other than the New York football Giants, and that's food. Good morning, Arthur.
You know what it is. We're having March weather in February. Italians say marzo e pazzo. March is crazy. We say, what, it comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb, which is not as accurate as marzo e pazzo. Anyway, we're having a febbraio pazzo. Any case, on a Skype call with Iris the end of last week, she was cooking lunch for herself. So, you know, it's early morning here, 6 hours later. She lives in Rome. Iris, to refresh the memory of people who don't even know who she is, she was my personal assistant in the early 1990s, and then and was with me and in Italy with me for years, and 8 years. And then she moved to Rome for a number of reasons, one of which was that her son, who was born in Sicily and considered himself Sicilian, was also living in Italy, although not in Sicily. He was living way up north in Torino. Any case, I'm on the phone with Iris, and she's cooking herself some lunch. And what was she making but pasta with braised young chard? She went to the market. They had young chard. She bought, I mean, it's early spring there, so there's stuff coming up out of the ground. So she had this young, freshly picked chard, and she just put it in a skillet with olive oil, garlic, and parsley. And as she said, you can cook anything with olive oil, garlic, and parsley. And a million things start out in Italy with olive oil, garlic, and parsley, even just spaghetti with olive oil, garlic, and parsley. Now, I've been craving, you know, this also reminded me, I have to say, of the man in my life I called Uncle Caesar when I was a boy, or Mr. B, because his last name was Benvenuto, Caesar Benvenuto, and he was my father's absolute best friend until my father died, and Caesar, even though he was the oldest in his group, he outlived everybody. In any case, he was my buddy in the end, and I just called him Caesar. But I remember Caesar was a great cook, a great Italian cook. And in fact, early in his life, he'd been a firehouse cook. He was a fireman, so of course. So one day I wrote a column in the Daily News complaining, I guess, I hope in a humorous way, that nobody was cooking anymore. Well, by the way, everybody's back to cooking all through the pandemic. We learned how to cook again. In any case, so I wrote this column, nobody's cooking anymore, and Caesar calls me up. He says, I don't know what the big deal is. You pour yourself a scotch, you saute some garlic and olive oil, and you're cooking. And you know, so many things start that way or end that way, because for me, just to have spaghetti with garlic, olive oil, and parsley is heaven. And in fact, many years ago, almost everybody, it's called aglio olio, meaning oil, garlic and oil. The oil must be great, I think. And the garlic could be either cooked or not cooked. I'll get to that in a second. And you sort of need a fresh herb, parsley, but not necessarily. If you had some hot pepper and no parsley, I could live with that. But I do like to have parsley in this. And, you know, it's not just for the green. Besides that, parsley does have a flavor if you don't chop it into smithereens. It also has antioxidants, so it's a healthy thing. So, and even in small amounts. And by the way, I like to substitute sometimes mint for the parsley, or in the summer, basil for the parsley, but something green is nice. And in the middle of the winter, if you don't have a fresh herb, you can always put in a big pinch of oregano or dried mint. I love dried mint. That holds up very well over a period of time. So anyway, aglio olio is such a standard thing all over Italy, it's the kind of thing like, oh, we get home from whatever event and we're still hungry, or we are hungry, and what do? You make aglio. So I want, what I've been craving lately is clam sauce. Oh, let me, one more note on aglio olio. So I don't know how many years ago this is, 30 years ago at least, I was very friendly with Marcella Hazan, and one day she said, you know, I don't make it the Neapolitan, I was writing my Naples book, so this had to be in the mid-90s. She said, I don't make it the Neapolitan way, you know, they cook the garlic. I said, you know, but they can cook it very, very gently, Marcella, so that it doesn't even turn color. No, I like it better, and Victor, that was her husband, is her husband, he's still alive. Victor likes it raw, and you know what? I like it raw, too. Now that I've tried it, I like it raw. And if you don't like it totally, totally raw, you can just chop up your garlic and put it in the oil that you're going to use and let it stand for an hour. The oil will get a nice garlic flavor, and the garlic sort of mellows out a tiny bit. And you can use as much garlic or as little garlic as you like. I mean, even a clove, a nice big clove of garlic could go for 2 portions. Me, I want more than that. So, what I've been craving, however, is spaghetti with clam sauce. What is that? Olive oil, garlic, parsley, and throw in some clams. Let them steam open. The liquid that they produce become, with the oil, the copious amount of oil you should use, becomes the dressing for the pasta. If you don't want to use, and you can put a splash of wine in too. So I'm thinking, you know, I went to the market. I ordered it from my local pizzeria. And this is the thing, I don't know what it says about my character, but if I eat something mediocre to not so good out, meaning in a restaurant, I have to come home and cook it the right way. So my craving got to me, and I ordered, against my better judgment, spaghetti with clam sauce from my local pizzeria, where on their menu it says that this is the owner's favorite pasta dish on a long list of pasta dishes. They sell more than pizza, obviously. So I order it, and you know it wasn't so bad. They did, with along with some chopped clams mingled in the spaghetti, were a dozen little neck clams. Nice fresh clams open. They didn't have a whole lot of flavor, but they seemed to be very fresh. That's a thing these days. The clams don't have so much flavor. But they had not salted the water well enough for the spaghetti. Even, the spaghetti wasn't quite as al dente as I like it. And the worst probably was that the oil. You know, I'm so accustomed to really good extra virgin olive oil that I cringe when I have a dish with less than good olive oil. So I don't know what they're using. I'm pretty sure it's not high quality oil, but between no salt or lack of salt and not great olive oil, I wasn't happy. So I had to come home and make it. But the thing is, as I just said, clams don't have a whole lot of flavor these days. And in addition, Mr. Harned, Bob, whom I cook for, and, you know, I don't cook for him just, but anyway, he doesn't really love clams. He would happily eat it because I want to eat it, but he would not be so happy, I know. So, and I go to the market. They are anywhere, it depends on where you're buying them, because I've shopped for them a little bit. They're anywhere from like 60 cents to 80 cents per clam. So I thought that was a little expensive for clam sauce. I was considering buying mussels, and then from the deep recesses of my research memory, I remembered the, I would call it finto, meaning fake clam sauce, that I read about in a kosher cookbook. And thinking about what Iris said and what Caesar said, I'm thinking, what could be so bad if I made a fin fish clam sauce? No clams, just a white fish. So I bought some. I've done this before with cod. It's very good with cod. but they had some very nice little monkfish tails at my fish market. And three of these little tails amounted to about a pound of fish. And I cut it up into small pieces, well, you know, let's say inch cubes. And I put it in a pan with my best olive oil and a copious amount of garlic and at least a handful, because I had it and I really relished it, chopped parsley. Now, let me say, there is technique involved here. And I learned this from my Neapolitan friends and Salernitana friends, that you don't cut parsley until it's finely chopped parsley. You basically chiffonade the parsley. You gather it under your hand, and you cut it once through into the thinnest possible shreds that you can. And that's it. You don't need to chop it any more than that. And even if you have some leaves that are whole-ish, you can put them in, too. Basil I always tear by hand, but parsley I do cut. Anyway, so I had oil, garlic, parsley. I put in, because I have them, one dried, really hot pepper, but without the seeds and crushed up. And then I put in the fish, turned it in this flavorful mixture until the fish was opaque, no longer looking raw. And then I splashed in, and I really did just glugged from the bottle, a splash of white wine. And salt and pepper, definitely need salt and pepper. Not black pepper at this point. Maybe you may want to add it later. But I like it just the hot pepper and not the fragrant black pepper. So I made a mistake. No pepper, just salt. And I let that, and in the case of monkfish, it takes 15 or 20 minutes for the fish to get fully cooked. And to break apart, really. Monkfish has a very firm texture. It's a meaty fish. If I was using cod, it would probably take 5 minutes. And, you know, other white-fleshed fish, you just cook it until it's just done. And then, at the same time, I mean, this is one of those sauces you can make while you're boiling the pasta. For the two of us, I make 6 ounces of pasta. That's 300 calories worth of pasta per portion. Americans, I feel, eat too large portions of pasta. Now that we're going to add a little pasta to our diets, I'm going to go try next time only 2 ounces of pasta and see if that satisfies. 3 ounces, as I've been saying for years now, is really a substantial amount of pasta. So, and by the way, we had a lot of fish. Now, that pound of fish could have gone for 3 or 4 portions, I mean 12 ounces of pasta. But I just mixed it with 6 ounces of almost cooked linguine. And instead of draining the linguine, I pulled it out of the water with tongs and dripping, put it into the, when it was still quite al dente, put it into the clam, the fish sauce, and that's it. Let the pasta cook a little longer. If you need a little bit more liquid, you can add another spoonful of pasta cooking water, but you probably won't. You don't want a soupy sauce. You want it all to cling, and you want it to absorb and cling to the pasta. Of course, the oil will not cling to the pasta, so it's a nice garlicky, oily, parsley dish. Now, that is, I must say, even with fish, that was really satisfied my craving for clams. And my next venture is going to actually be something not Italian, but it's another one that's a half to left because I don't even know where I found this recipe, but it's a homey Chinese, apparently, garlic, parsley. No parsley. Well, you could, instead of parsley, let's call the greens of scallions, the parsley here. But what you do is you make egg noodles. Now, for 8 ounces of wide egg noodles, not so easy to find these days, I find. I mean, I go to the supermarket and they have all these fine noodles and medium noodles and plain old flat egg noodles. I have to look more. But you could, you know what you could use that would be good for this? Egg fettuccine, which I know that is sold. The Checo makes a good fettuccine. Barilla makes a good dried fettuccine. But if you, I mean, even pappardelle, an Italian pappardelle would be good for this. But truthfully, if I had a wide egg noodle, it would be better. So you cook your noodles, and they should be cooked to the degree you like them, not undercooked, just cooked to your taste. That's what al dente really means, by the way. And then toss the drained noodles with quite a lot of oil. I would say a couple of tablespoons of neutral vegetable oil, whatever you have and use, and 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, and put the noodles in a pan with as much chopped garlic as you like, and sauté the cooked noodles in oil with garlic until, for a bit, you know, quite a few minutes, over medium-high heat, until some of the noodles start getting a little crispy. Then splash on some soy sauce and keep cooking until the soy sauce is all gone. And of course, you've put some salt on this, and then what you want to do is eat the noodles. I would definitely put a hot pepper in with the garlic. And I definitely would eat this with a lot of sliced scallions on top, raw scallions. But if you don't like raw scallions, then throw them into the pan with the noodles just before you take the noodles out, just to wilt the scallions. This is going to be really good. I haven't made it yet, but I salivate just talking about it. And as everybody should know by now, I'm trying to increase my Asian repertoire. Now, given the base of, by the way, olive oil, let's get to olive oil for a second, because it's really so important. There's, I can't tolerate less than good olive oil anymore. And I buy it in a number of places. It's not hard to find good, and I prefer, but I find that I get very high quality Sicilian olive oil for a very good price. Now, what's a good price? $20 to $23, $24 per liter. That is a good price these days for excellent extra virgin olive oil. And I, as I said, I see this in a lot of stores that I shop in. Then again, there is oil that you can buy on the internet, really good olive oil, but it'll cost you. So the other day on Facebook, my friend Pamela Sheldon Johns mentioned that her oil, and she and her husband John live in Tuscany, and they have an olive grove, and they have been harvesting their Tuscan olive oil, very low acidity oil, which is a good thing, for I don't know how many years, but a long time now. And the only time I visited with Pamela, she's American. Oh, actually, John is too. Maybe John is British. Anyway, they have very good olive oil. So she mentioned on Facebook the other day that this company, Olio, O-L-I-O, the number 2, go, Olio to go, but the number 2, carried her oil. So I went online, and you can buy a liter of, it's called Poggio, P-O-G-G-I-O. A Poggio is a hill. I think that's Tuscan dialect, because the only Poggios I know are in, I mean, towns called Poggio, whatever, or places called Poggio are in Tuscany. Poggio Etrusca, Etrusca, E-T-R-U-S-C-A, as in Etruscan. And Poggio Etrusca olive oil, a liter is $52. I think it's in a can. It's expensive, but Tuscan olive oil is, I have to say, almost always the most expensive. And in this case, you know where it comes from and the quality, and I would not be frying anything in this olive oil. Well, I would saute vegetables in it for sure. And it's a good, as they call, you know, dressing olive oil. It's certainly great for salad. And we eat a lot of vegetables around here, and I use a lot of oil. So I'm going to treat myself to a can. You can buy it in larger quantity also. And then there are oils. I got sent a gift of oil from Olio to Go, that's how I knew about Olio to Go, was when somebody sent me a gift of Sicilian olive oil, and it was really, really good olive oil. I had to go to the website to see what they have. So if you don't have access to excellent olive oil, I think that's a worthy investment. I don't know how quickly you go through it, but I go through it pretty quickly. Because I'm sure we eat, well, I know we eat oil every day, one way or another. Anyway, so there are so many ways to start a dish with garlic, olive oil, and parsley. And I think that that's just the base for instance, you know, I wrote a book called What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat. Well, my house has a good larder, and I always have tuna fish, so I could easily drain a can of tuna and throw it in there with the garlic and parsley and olive oil. Or, on top of that, or instead of that, I could add a couple tablespoons of capers. I like salted capers. You soak them for a few minutes. They're not that salty in the end, but they do have a great fragrance and flavor that the vinegar, you know, basically pickled capers do not, but I do use pickled capers for other things. And then olives, you know, if you have some olives in the house, chop them up and throw them in with the garlic and parsley and whatever herb, you know, it doesn't have to be parsley. So that's another way to go. Then lemon. Now, I live with somebody and cook for somebody who does not like lemon on pasta, but I do. So I would actually do a no-cook sauce of olive oil, chopped garlic, chopped parsley, or could be big pinch of dried mint, very good in this, and then lemon juice, and toss your hot pasta, got to be hot, pasta in this raw mixture, and it will absorb some of the flavor from the lemon and oil, of course. It'll absorb flavor. So, in fact, to give you some proportions, for 12 ounces of pasta, if I was doing a lemon pasta like this, there are so many ways of making lemon pasta. There's a way I love with fresh, you know, with egg pasta and cream and lemon. Garlic, but that's another story. So in this case, I would, for 12 ounces of pasta, which to me is four portions, I would use, you know, a good third of a cup of extra virgin olive oil, zest a couple of lemons, give me a couple of three tablespoons, let's say, of freshly squeezed lemon juice, and if you want to have something, and of course, a couple of cloves of finely chopped garlic, and if you want something extra in there, you can throw in some olives. And that's it. Salt, pepper, black pepper in this case, and you got another dish. I'm getting myself too hungry. And let me say one more word on all this, is that a friend of mine, a very knowledgeable Italian eater-cook friend, said to me the other day, why do Americans want to put cheese on everything? So I have to say that when I make something with garlic, parsley, and olive oil, and hot pepper, I do not put cheese. Generally do not use cheese. If you have to have cheese, make it a sharp pecorino, not parmigiano, not for this. And one thing I love on these dishes, though, is fried breadcrumbs. And that's another way to go. You do your aglio olio, and you top it with fried breadcrumbs, meaning heat some oil in a pan, in a skillet, and throw in some breadcrumbs and make them nice and toasty. If you want to embellish that, you can melt an anchovy or two into the olive oil before you add the breadcrumbs and put that on top of your aglio olio. Now, that's already another dish. As my friend Maureen, who's American but has been living in Italy for, I don't know, 40 years, she says, you know, in Italy you change one ingredient and it has a new name. By the way, aglio olio is something I would never, ever order in a restaurant. I mean, why would you order something as simple as that? Unless you, like, didn't have a kitchen at home. But then you could have a hot plate and make aglio olio. In fact, I know people who make here's one for you. This is just made, when I said hot plates, it's cued a memory for me. I did a lot of research on the dish called puttanesca. And I discovered, this is 30 years ago, and I actually knew somebody who could verify this. I discovered that this dish, well, the name, not the dish, but the name puttanesca was given to the dish in other places called other things, which is basically spaghetti with tomatoes, olives, capers, anchovies, basil or parsley. It's a very colorful dish. It was given that name by a man, a gentleman, who lived, after he lived in Naples for many, many years, he basically lost his income. I don't want to go into all that. And he moved to Ischia, and he would invite his Neapolitan friends to come visit him on the weekend, and he only had a hot plate, a single or maybe two-burner cooktop in this hovel that he lived in, but with a big terrace. And he used to make what others might call marinara. And he would call it puttanesca because he considered himself a whore.
Now, I have a question to ask you.
And I won't go into that either.
No.
But no. I had, he's passed away, but I had a friend who, older than me, whose parents were friends of this man and used to go to Ischia to these little parties where he served the puttanesca.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had clam sauce with tomatoes?
Of course, but, you know, I prefer the white. Yeah. But here's a little thing. I have a Neapolitan friend who always dices up a couple of tiny, they're not really cherry tomatoes. They're these pendula, they're these little hanging tomatoes. But she chops up a couple of these tiny tomatoes and puts it into her white, what we call white clam sauce, and calls it rosata, rosé. And you know what it is tomatoes have, they're a natural source of MSG. So you put them into anything, and they bring up the flavor a little bit. You know, I prefer all white, but, you know, if I had a really good little tomato like that, I might dice it in. I do know about, and, you know, it's like, do you like New England clam chowder or Manhattan clam chowder?
I like both of them.
I like both, but I do prefer the creamy one.
Yeah, so do
I. The white one. Even though my grandfather made sensational, and I mean sensational, Manhattan clam chowder. Oh, by the way, the recipe for that is in my book, Soup Suppers, because my grandfather he cooked, obviously. Besides, I always talk about him making pickles, but he also sold coleslaw and potato salad to bars and grills and Manhattan clam chowder. So late in life, when he was no longer in that business, he still made all these things. In fact, I recently asked one of my cousins, does she have the recipe for the potato salad? And he always, my grandfather was very meticulous with a knife. So he had very nice, even cubes of potato in his potato salad. Anyway, she didn't have it. In any case, red clam sauce is a good thing. Clam chowder can be a very good thing, but I still prefer creamy.
All right.
And of course, you know, you're in Connecticut. You know about Connecticut clam, and Rhode Island clam chowder has neither cream nor tomatoes, historically. It's gray. I used to go eat clam chowder in New London when I was a camper in Connecticut. That was on my day off. We would take trips to New London and go to some diner that had great clam chowder, but it was gray.
All right, Arthur.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm a happier camper now that I've decided I can eat pasta once a week and not gain all my weight back.
All right. Good news.
Well, feel better, Marshall.
I feel better every day. I get stronger and better, so it's good.
Aglio olio is very healthy.
I mean,
garlic is great for your heart, and olive oil is full of antioxidants. Good olive oil, especially if you don't cook it. If you do the raw version like Marcella, that's even healthier.
All right.
Go make some aglio olio.
All right. I'll speak to you next week.
Have a good week, everyone.
Take care.
Enjoy the weather.
All right. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.